Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Well, we bring Christian greetings to you from the Spring Hill congregation. We're located in the little town of Latham, Missouri, in central Missouri. And we're certainly glad to be here and with other people that love the Lord. And it's just a joy to be worshiping with you. We appreciate that you hosted us last evening and provided beds for us and all that you've done to make us feel welcome here. I've been to Elkhart County quite a number of times before. I believe this is the furthest north that I've ever worshipped in Elkhart County. As far as in a church, I've been to several churches in Yellow Creek. I've been to Sandy Ridge, I've been to weddings in Elkhart County. I'm not sure how many. I do know at least that two of my brothers got married in Elkhart County, so it's not an unfamiliar place, but very, very, very glad to be here this morning. The song Shout to the North is kind of the basis for a lot of what I'll share this morning. I've entitled the message, Rise Up Church. And this morning, there's a question that's ringing in my mind, maybe a little bit more since last evening. The worship service we were part of was at Pacific Guard Mission in Chicago, in downtown Chicago. But the question is this: is the church still relevant in America? Now, statistics would say that, well, I'll use this word, that hordes of people have decided that the church is not relevant. There's people leaving. Well, last evening, the man that spoke at that there at that Pacific Guard Mission, the pastor that spoke, said there's 3,500 people leaving the church every day. It's a lot of people. So I did a little math, and that would be 1.2 or maybe closer to 1.3 million people a year. Well, I did do a little search earlier this morning, and there was another, someone else was saying that in the 10-year period from about 2010 to 2020, there was 1.5 million people a year were leaving the church. And the question might be, well, why? Why is this happening that way? And we were blessed with a message we heard last night. And, you know, one of the problems of the church is hypocrisy. And the brother that shared last evening focused on that. And so that there's so much lays on us that are part of the church. Is it attractive to others? Is my belief something that others would be attracted to? And, of course, yeah, there's so much worldliness. We in the church want to be like everyone else. And this has been a problem. You know, we can go back and we could draw things from ancient Israel and realize, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. These problems have been around for a long time, and we'll probably be looking a little bit later on at what was going on in the time of Isaiah. Well, the chorus in the song Shout from the North goes like this: Shout to the north and to the south, sing to the east and to the west, Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. And in that chorus, there's two messages that are so important. Jesus is Savior. See, that's the message that we're to be shouting. But it doesn't stop there. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And brothers and sisters gathered here this morning, if our knee doesn't bow while we're here on earth in this way, with the opportunities we have, that if our knee doesn't bow and our tongue doesn't confess that Jesus is Lord, there will be that time at Judgment Day where everyone will recognize and realize that He is Lord. So let's be there now. And not only accept Him as Savior, and some of that is so shallow with easy believism sometimes, but make Him Lord of your life. Well, when I think about those 3,500 people a day that are leaving the church, I ask this question, well, how many of these were ever really truly Christians? Were they just giving some lip service? And maybe some of these were those that were baptized as infants and they just kind of discarded that. But I thought of three B's that must be, three things that must be if we're really going to be truly part of the church. So we must be born again. We find that in John chapter 3. But I like this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born again people are truly part of the church. People that are part of the church are Bible-believing people. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it's God-breathed. That's what it is. And it goes on to say, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So Bible believing is so important. The third thing, and where some of us struggle, is that person that is truly a part of the church must be a broken person. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. And I noticed in our scripture reading, we had some other words from David from Psalm 52. A broken person will experience the joy of the salvation that is theirs. So only now, with those three B's, and well, there's more to it than that too, but those are so important, can God begin to use and God begin to instill vision into people that will make the church relevant. Brothers and sisters, this morning the church is so relevant, and I'm glad to be here with people that believe it's worthwhile to leave the fertile soil south of here. You know, we as Anabaptists have typically been an agrarian people, a people that love to be out in the land and get our hands dirty and grow crops and things like that. Well, there's so many. You know, there's what, 50,000 people here, I believe, in Elkhart, something like that, according to what I looked at. And how many of those need to know about the Lord Jesus? And it was exciting for me to drive in here and see these buses that you have out here and know that there's ministry being done, and people being saved because people have a vision. And that's what, you know, God has instilled vision into so many people. And probably many of you would recognize names like Hudson Taylor and Amy Carmichael. You know, Hudson Taylor made such a difference in China, Amy Carmichael in India. And then we can think of names from our Anabaptist circles going back a little bit. Irvin Shuntz, Northern Youth Programs, you know, had a vision to go and help those people. Harold Kaufman, Mennonite Air Missions in Guatemala, you know, those were people with a vision. And somewhere along the line, somebody had somebodies, more than one, I'm sure, had a vision for the church here at Cornerstone. Spring Hill, there was people had a vision. There was a need for something else besides what was there in Montauk and Morgan County in Missouri at that time. And so these things grow out of that. And when people see a need and they're willing to do something, they see that something that's broken, God can use people like that. I'd like to begin by a little bit of scripture in Nehemiah chapter 2. If you have Bibles, if you care to, you can turn to that. In Nehemiah chapter 2. And this man, Nehemiah, if we go back here now in the history of Israel, the people have been taken captive to Babylon, and we had Ezra returning earlier, and yet Jerusalem, things were still broken. The walls were broken down. Things were not taken care of, and God broke Nehemiah's heart. His heart was broken when he knew that Jerusalem, that place where God was to be worshipped, things were broken down. And of course, Nehemiah, you know, what for somebody in his position in exile, he had the perfect job, perhaps, one that many people wanted, right next to the king as a cupbearer. And it showed to the king that something was going on with this man, Nehemiah, that he trusted. And he asked what the problem was. Well, God used a king, a pagan king, if I may say it that way, a king there in Babylon to accomplish his work. Because the king blessed Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem, travel there. The vision, the things were taken care of. Just a couple verses from Nehemiah 2. Let's go to verse 13. And so we have Nehemiah out riding his horse just by moonlight in the night and seeing how serious the problem was. Walls were broken down. The gates were broken down and burned up. And in verse 13, we have this. I believe that's the verse. Yeah, I'm in the wrong chapter as I look here. Verse 13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. Broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Well, what happened? He went on back, and he shared with the people. And I'd like to look now at verses 17 and 18. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. You know, the church, you know, coming back to today, the church doesn't have to be a reproach. We can, God will enable us to build and be that beautiful thing, you know, the song that was sung, how beautiful the body of Christ, such a beautiful thing. And then Nehemiah went on to say this in verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. See, if we're going to do God's work, we have to recognize that his hand upon us is a good thing. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be mocked and so on. But through it all, we realize that God's good hand is resting upon us. See, that enables us, and that was where Nehemiah was at. And yes, God's hand was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And so he shared how a king that wasn't a believer made this all possible. And they said, see, this is a beautiful thing to me. Let us rise up and build. The vision was now instilled into a group of people that were able to make a difference. And of course, we could go on through Nehemiah and find how God gave those people mind to work. And they worked even when they had to have a weapon in their one hand. They worked with the other hand. They did what God called them to do. And so as we think about rising up as a church and doing the work of God, that God will enable for that. Well, from the three verses that we're saying, three brief points here. First of all, it's rise up, men of faith. Men, are you here today ready to do the work of God? I'd like to use a few scriptures from Hebrews chapter 11, if you care to turn there. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So, three D's here that we want to look at for men of faith. First of all, there needs to be the desire to please God. It says here in this verse that I just read, without faith it is impossible to please him. Are you filled with the desire to please God? You know, we want to please, you know, I want to please my wife. I want to please my children. I want to please, well, how many people do I want to please? Lots of people. But let's not forget that the most important thing is to please God. And then it goes, there's a word about diligently seeking him. And so, men of faith, are we ready to diligently do the things that God is laying in our hearts to do? Diligence is needed. Going down to verses 13 and 14, talking about those in the past that died in faith. They hadn't received the promises, but they saw them afar off and were persuaded of them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The third D here is declaring plainly, regardless of persecution, whatever we might face. Are we declaring plainly, men, are we there? Or are we, we are the ones that need to provide for our families. You know, I think God ordained it that way. And so do we get distracted sometimes by what we do from Monday to Saturday to provide? Well, that's all part. If our vision is right, wherever we're at, whatever a hand findeth to do, we're called to do it with all our might, with all God's might with us. Are we persuaded? And then I think about the word embrace. When we embrace something, whatever is being embraced knows that we care. You know, and people see that. I saw my son. Well, he's sitting in the back here. It's so good to be here. We got to spend last night with him and his family, and he brought us back here this morning, but I was ready to embrace him when I saw him last evening, because he's my son. See, that's how these things are. When we embrace the things of God, we show the people that we care about the things of God. That's how it really needs to be. If we're going to be relevant, see, we're talking about rising up and being relevant in our culture. People will see that. Well, next, from the second verse, we have the call for rise up, women of faith. So what are the women of faith to do? Well, my thoughts went kind of this direction. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, the things that we're experiencing, well, we say, well, I'm seeing some things I haven't seen before here in America with the breakdown of society that's just kind of happening. And I think here in cities, you see it a little bit more. I travel to the city of Kansas City quite a bit, and we get into areas of Kansas City that aren't the greatest with my work with Choice Books, putting books out. We see lots in stores, and we see things outside the stores, and we see people on the streets, whatever. Things are breaking down, and society needs some help. The church can make a difference. And so when I'm thinking about nothing new under the sun, I'm thinking about what was happening in the time that Isaiah was a prophet, probably in the 700s, maybe about 750 BC to about 710 BC, a lot of the things were happening that we read about in Isaiah. And this wasn't very long after the height of the kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. I'd say the height of it maybe is when Solomon was king and things had deteriorated a bit. There was some civil war and so on. But this was basically a time, well, I have three P's for you now. The first two are peace and prosperity. This was a time of peace and prosperity. And so I have a verse that I want to get to in Isaiah 32, and it talks about complacent women. But let's start out, first of all, looking at a little bit from Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah 3, and women are in focus here. Isaiah 3. No, let's see, I want to start at verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and God will discover their secret parts. Well, my third P here is the word predicament. They found themselves in the midst of peace and prosperity, that there was a predicament. And one of the things was that the women were out of place. And they, well, if we I'm not going to read all that we have in the verses following, but the things that they did, that they wanted to be noticed. And well, you know, that's not an uncommon thing for not just women, but men. We like to be noticed, and we'll do things to do that. Well, you know, I've been around this earth for a bit over 60 years, and I tell you what, things are a lot different now than when I was the age of these young men and young ladies that were up here singing. Things have changed. There's people that you can't see their skin anymore for the tattoos that are on and things like that, and it's just, well, that, you know, there's a soul there that can still be saved. And what are we doing? Are we just throwing our hands up in the air and say, well, it's all over, I can't do anything about it? Well, you know, there's another P that just comes to mind. We certainly can all pray about it. And there's things to be done. Now, let's go on over to Isaiah 32. Verse 9 says this, rise up, ye women that are at ease. I think several other versions would say women that are complacent. Peace and prosperity has historically brought complacency. And you know, we could see a picture that I could go to Judges and show you how often, you know, God blessed people and then they forgot God. And then he had to bring them into a hard spot. And then they called out to God. And well, in our Anabaptist story, there was much persecution and hard times in Europe from the early 1500s to the early 1700s for many Anabaptists that are in America. You know, our family lines go back to there for many of us in the early 1700s and some later, but many immigrated, came across the Atlantic and spent time in Pennsylvania, and then eventually, oh, later 1800s is when the Mennonite community in this area began in a large way. If you meet any Martins in Elkhart County, they're probably rather distant relatives of mine, but we would go back to the ancestry there. But I think, you know, if we look at the communities where Mennonites are at, there's not a lot of people that are totally complacent, just waiting for a big brother called government to hand things out, like happens in so many of the cities and so on. We don't have the welfare mentality, but I wonder sometimes if, you know, if we would apply the word complacency to spiritual matters, if we haven't gotten that way somewhat. And we haven't faced some of the stresses that, well, reached to my elder brothers when there was time of a draft. You know, the young people had to think about, you know, what is my belief? What is my faith? And just before the time that I would have become to draft age, the draft for military was dropped. And actually, there was a couple of years where they didn't even ask people to register anymore. And I fell into that little spot. But yeah, complacency is a common problem. So so the call here is rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice. God is saying, ye careless daughters, give ear to my speech. Listen up. And there was a need to do things in a different way. And in the following verses talk about things that were happening, and they ended up at those places. So the well-dressed people, you know, they need to put on sackcloth. We have that in verse 12. And the land turned into that fertile land, which you know, Israel has has fertile land, and right now, you know, there's in that little country, there's some very productive farmland and so on, but it fell back into being a place of thorns and briars, like we read in verse 13. Things were forsaken, cities were left, and so on. And then verse 15 talks about God, what God wants to do and has done, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. That's God's answer to verse 20. Blessed are they that sow beside all waters, send forth the feet of the ox and the ass. That those things, God has brought abundant blessing to his people. And so that's his call to women of faith. Be faithful. Stand and sing to broken hearts, it says. And women that know the healing power of God's, the awesome King of Love, there's an opportunity for women to show that, and so we can apply this probably in a spiritual way. Been healed of that need, you know. Have God, that's a healed person, and the testimony of that, is that something that you women can do? Yes, it is. You can show that. I thought of the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31 and verse 31, the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. I believe in our circles, we have many, many women that are virtuous, and you ladies might read through this and say, wow, I can't quite do this. Well, just do what you can. God will enable you for much more. And verse 27 is a verse I want to look at. And then 28, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 28 is actually what I was looking for. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. In this picture, we have the power of a woman of truth. What she can do for a home. Yes, you know, fathers, we're the ones that actually have the biggest impact on whether a home's going to be healthy or not. But you think of the hours that a woman puts into it. The original, you know, the beginning the man's impact is so great, but the ongoing work that a woman does to make families, I say this, the glue of a Christian family is a virtuous woman. And what a powerful witness that is in our land where divorce is rampant and, things even beyond that now with the gender dysphoria and all those kinds of things. A virtuous woman, a woman of faith, can make such a huge difference. Well, I want to, my third point would be, comes from verse 3, and kind of as I come to time to close here, rise up, church, with broken wings. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 12 is a key verse that I want to look at. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 12 says this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. See, rise up, church, with broken wings. And maybe we could say church with broken things, too. There's a lot of broken things, even in our churches. But if we rise up and do what God calls us, we'll fill this place with songs again. So what will we do? Three F's for you now. We'll fix a broken thing. We won't give up. We'll be diligent. We'll keep working at it. And then the second thing is what our young people sang. Fill this place with songs. And I think along with that, the things that edify. What is edification? What's building up? You know, if we fill up with things that build up, you know, that's encouraging. Yes, you know, there's some things we need to work at it that aren't so positive at times. But while I was looking for another F, and you know, what better thing than that song that we sing sometimes, follow the path of Jesus. And in verse 13, the Amplified Version has this phrase in it. Let's see, I'll read verse 13. Here in Hebrews 2, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. See, we see Jesus, verse 9 here, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, but we see Jesus. Jesus is real to us. We trust Jesus. I just read that here in verse 13. People know that. They see that if that's where we're at. And then, the third thing I wanted to talk say here is the last part of verse 13. The Amplified Version says it this way. Here I am, I and the children whom God hath given me. Families, we can make such a difference. It's in the vision. And, shout. Do we have to shout? Huh? Sometimes we get people's attention that way. But what we act, what we do, many times without saying a word, speaks louder. If the hypocrisy is all done away with and those types of things, rise up, church. Rise up, church. Shall we pray a moment here at the close of the message? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God that not only gives us vision and purpose, and power, as we follow you and are born again, you empower us and enable us to do the things that you call us to. So I would pray that for everyone that's assembled here this morning, that we would continue to catch the vision that there is a work to do in this world that is broken in so many places. May our homes be havens of light that the world may see. So may you bless everyone that's assembled here. We pray for this congregation, and may you continue to bless them as they reach into the streets of Elkhart and whatever else all they do, Lord, and just bless our group too as we travel further on. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Leroy, for bringing us God's word this morning. I was blessed. I was challenged. What an exciting message. We have a message to share with the world. It's concerning how many people are leaving the church. Are they leaving Jesus or are they leaving people? If somebody knows Jesus, knows the Jesus I know, could they ever leave him? Something to think about. Why are they leaving? The brother shared that we need to have a vision. I think of that. I believe that vision is of the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful. Do we believe God? Is the body of Christ beautiful? Are Christ's commands beautiful? Things to think about. The brother talked about men of faith having a desire to please God. That's a work of God in our hearts. It's not something that we can do in and of ourselves. That's only Christ giving us a new heart, a desire to turn to him away from our selfishness, diligence to do his work. He challenged us to declare plainly, or are we distracted? Women of faith, peace, prosperity, predicaments. Where are we at? I just was really blessed to be here this morning. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord for his continued work in us. He promises that he will build his church. And in the end, when he returns, he will be victorious. We have a chance to be a part of it. But where is our faith? And where is our focus? Does anybody have a testimony that they would like to share this morning? Maybe the message spoke to you or something that this week that God spoke to you in? All right, well, thank you. Thank you all for coming. It's been a blessing and a privilege to worship God with all of you this morning. This concludes our formal service.